ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Vishnudeva is describing the beauty of Krishna and relishing that beauty. This is not generally expected of a fighter. Fighting man takes pleasure in blood. Of course, blood can also be beautiful. Generally we don't think of blood as beautiful, but Vishnudev himself was firing arrows at Arjuna, and so many they hit Krishna also, being a charioteer. It's a dangerous job being a charioteer in a battle, because you're standing right in front of the Rati. There's the one who's being carried, the fighter on the chariot. So the chariot driver has no means to defend himself. So the chariot fighter, he has to defend not only himself, but also his chariot driver and his horses. Because if his horses or chariot driver get injured or killed, then he's obviously incapacitated. And he has to protect the chariot also. So often you will find in the Mahabharata the description that the chariots, they're also the wheels, at the wheels are infantry soldiers. Infantry soldiers means foot soldiers. Yeah. They're standing. So anyway, Krishna was, it's also described in Mahabharata that the chariot fighters, they're fighting each other and they'll kill the chariot driver or the horses, and like this. But the fighters, it's not very easy to kill them. Apart from being, one thing is they're expert in defending themselves. That so many arrows will be coming at them and they'll fire arrows back, which will intercept the arrows on the way. And while they're doing that, they'll also send arrows to attack the opposing party. We can hardly imagine such military skill of anyone in the modern age. So anyway, Krishna was injured by the arrows of Vishnudev and others. So when Sarangapani, the name of Krishna, who was carrying the broken chariot wheel to attack Bhishma, then when he came to attack Bhishma, his body was covered with wounds from the arrows, and his hair, and there was blood and there was dust. You can imagine on the battlefield there'll be so much dust with all the soldiers and horses and chariots. There'll be so much dust will be raised up. So the soldiers would become very thirsty because they're losing blood, and it's just so very dusty. They're breathing in so much dust and they're working hard. I mean, physically, sunrise to sunset, they're completely active. So the dust would mix with the blood, and Krishna's transcendental body was dusty. His hair was disheveled. And in a mood of great anger, he came to attack Bhishma. And Bhishma, this is very beautiful. What a beautiful vision. In this verse, Bhishma Dev is praising Arjuna. He's praising Krishna, and he's also praising Arjuna by referring to Arjuna as Vijaya Sakha, by referring to Krishna as Vijaya Sakha, which means the friend of Arjuna. Arjuna is called Vijaya. So Bhishma Dev could have used anyone. There are thousands of names of Krishna. But he used this name in connection with Arjuna. So it's a great praise for Arjuna that Krishna has become his chariot rider. Whereas Bhishma Dev was fighting against Arjuna, and that means against Krishna. But in another sense, Bhishma was more fortunate because Arjuna, he mostly saw only the backside of Krishna. But in the battle, Bhishma always saw the front, his face of Krishna. And Arjuna, he did not have the vision, he did not get to see Krishna as Sarangapam. He saw him as Partha Sarathi. But Bhishma Dev saw him as Sarangapam. Krishna with intense feeling, intense anger against Bhishma. And Bhishma was very happy to see this because he knew that this intense anger was caused by Krishna's intense love for Arjuna. So generally if someone's very angry and their body is covered with blood and dust and their hair is all scattered, you say, well, that doesn't sound very beautiful. But Krishna is always beautiful, and everything he does simply increases his transcendental beauty. So what for someone else would be, someone else would look rather ghastly, but Krishna looks exquisitely beautiful. Of course, not everyone would appreciate that. The gopis of Vrindavan, they wouldn't appreciate that. They were feeling very distressed that Krishna is walking barefoot, and the thorns and even the dust will prick his foot. They could not tolerate the thought that Krishna will, the pinprick will hurt his foot. So what to speak of arrows piercing the body. The gopis, they couldn't hear this. They would all, this description, they'd all faint in horror. But Bhishma Dev, he is not in the Raja Bhakti Ras. He's in the Vira Ras outside of Vrindavan. That means the Vira Ras means the heroism. So many of these descriptions that Bhishma Dev has given of Krishna, that would also be applicable in Vrindavan. Sri Bhuvana Kamanam, he's desirable for all the three worlds. And his body is Tamalavarnam, bluish like the Tamal tree. Ravikara Gaura Varambaram. He wears a dress of golden color like the sun rays, Dadhane. Then Alaka Pula Avrita. His body is covered with sandalwood pulp, paintings, probably. Paintings, some design is like that. And Anana Abjam, his face is like a lotus. So all these descriptions, these are quite applicable in Vrindavan also. But although Krishna fights in Vrindavan, it's not like this fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He fights with his friends, that's playful fighting. And also so many demons entered Vrindavan and Krishna killed them. But there was no big war or military arrangement. So Bhishma Dev is appreciating the beauty of Krishna. And saying about that transcendental spiritual blood. So I may be surprised at blood, and how is that spiritual? But Krishna's body is Satchidananda Vigraha. It is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So even if there's blood, it's fully spiritual. And it's fully beautiful also. We've heard the description of Nrisimhadev. He also becomes covered with blood. The blood of Hiranyakashipu. So, although Hiranyakashipu, his body is not Satchidananda. He thought it was eternal. He was wrong. Krishna demonstrated to him that he was not eternal. He didn't discuss philosophy with Hiranyakashipu, that you are not eternal. Your body is not eternal. He didn't discuss philosophy. He gave him a practical demonstration of how his body is doomed to die like every other body. No discussion. When Nrisimhadev came, he didn't have any discussion with Hiranyakashipu. He simply fought with him and ripped his intestines out. And the blood became spattered all over Nrisimhadev's body. And Nrisimhadev became more beautiful. Then Nrisimhadev pulled out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and placed that around his neck like a garland. So that's not the normal thing that one would use as a garland. In the modern age, some demons, especially in Tamil Nadu, who are very anxious to go to hell, they sometimes, it's horrible to say, but they put a garland of shoes on the form of Lord Ram. Very, very sinful people. I mean, they got rid of the British, but look what, you know, they got. They thought they'd have independence for this, to have a government like this. So if we were to put a garland of intestines on the deity, that would be very sinful. But Nrisimhadev himself took the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and made it his own garland. And in doing so, he released Hiranyakashipu from all his unlimited sins and became very, in the devotee's vision, became very beautiful by doing so. That is the vaibhav, that is the glory of a lion. The lion is considered the king of the animals, is it not? Is it you consider like that? The lion is the king of the animals. Why? Not the deer, not the dog. Why the lion? Because the lion is the most powerful. So the lion, if he's only sitting and smiling, then what kind of a lion is that? It's not the look on his face that makes him a lion. It's his ability to rip other animals to pieces, and no animal can fight with the lion. They can fight, but they won't win. The lion will win. In Bhagavatam, in the description, in the seventh canto, in the description of the fight between Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakashipu, the one word to describe Hiranyakashipu is Daitya Kunjara, like an elephant among the demons. So if you say someone's an elephant, means they're very powerful. So there's no doubt that Hiranyakashipu was very powerful. However, when the elephant meets with the lion, you can expect a fierce fight, because the elephant is very big and strong. Sometimes when an elephant comes, you have to be careful, because sometimes they may just knock someone over and tread on them, accidentally kill them, human being. It happens sometimes. Just by accident, they can kill you. Just like sometimes you may feel some itching, you just go like that, and then you see, oh, there's a mosquito. As you see all blood, and you just thought it was some itch. And you scratch your ear, and then you see, oh, I killed a mosquito. So the elephant is very powerful, no doubt. But the lion is smaller, so why is the lion the king of the animals? Because the lion is more powerful than the elephant. So the lion's glory is demonstrated in his killing. One time, Prabhupada was visiting a zoo somewhere. I can't remember where. He went for some reason. Maybe they went on a japa walk or something. He went with his disciples to a zoo. And there was a lion in the cage. And one devotee was teasing him. Prabhupada said, don't do that. After all, he's a lion. You should, respect. He's got such a... Even the animal, that should be respected for its power. Now he's in a cage, but if he wasn't in the cage, you'd be in trouble. Riganam cha ragendroham, Krishna says. Among the animals, I am represented by the king of the animals. He's the lion. So the lioness, or the aspect of the lion which makes him glorious, is his ability to rip others to pieces. So the Supreme Lord is Nrisimhadev. He becomes glorified by ripping Hiranyakashipu. And devotees consider that form of Hiranyakashipu very beautiful. So Bhishma Dev, that was the high point of his life, the best thing that happened in his life. He had a very long life. But the best thing in his life, the thing which stuck in his mind most of all, was the time when Krishna came and attacked him. And he wanted to remember that vision at the time of death. It's not just his I mean, that's one feature, is his transcendental anger and his transcendental beauty. But by the word Vijaya Sakha, Bhishmadeva is also pointing out another glory of the Lord, is that he is the friend of his devotee. Vijaya means Arjuna. It's also a name of Krishna, which means he is the conqueror. He is victory. Vijaya means victory, and he is victory personified. So this is also a name of Arjuna. Arjuna, like any great personality, they have several names. So there's one of the names of Arjuna. Who knows another name of Arjuna? There are at least three in Bhagavad Gita. Gudakesh, which means he doesn't fall asleep in class. Jishnu. What does that mean? It's a name for, it's also a name for Arjuna. Yeah, it's also, but it's also a name for Vishnu. Vishnu, Jishnu, comes in. Dhananjay means conqueror of wells. What's he saying?
Yes, Partha. Pradami, the son of
Partha. Partha. Many times I can't understand. Kaunteya.
Kaunteya.
Savyasachi. What does that mean?
Expert in listening.
With both hands. He can. He's ambidextrous, is the English word. Then, anyone can think of any more?
Partiman.
I don't know that name. What's that? It's Italian. It's mixed up with Tamil.
Prada, the son of Prada.
Prita. Pritu Putra is the name Prabhupada gave one to something. Falgo is another. So anyway, this name, Vijaya, that is another name. And Krishna is being described here as the friend of Arjuna. The friend of the conqueror. So Arjuna was a conqueror. He never lost any fight. At least as long as Krishna was on the planet, he didn't lose it. So the general understanding of the meaning of his name is that he's a fighter. Therefore he's a conqueror. Therefore he's called Vijaya. He conquers in fighting. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that there's a more esoteric or inner meaning of the name Vijaya. That he has conquered Krishna by love. There are so many great conquerors in the history of the world. They were so powerful, now they are forgotten. In the world at the present time, Mr. Bush is considered the most powerful person. No. Although he can't conquer Iraq, he's trying hard, but he's not able to do so. But in history there have been so many. One of the most famous about 1700 years ago was Constantine. There was an emperor called Constantine. He conquered most of all of North Africa, a lot of Europe. He was the emperor of all parts of West Asia. I think that was around 1700 years ago or something like that. There you see, I think none of you heard the name. You heard the name before?
Not Napoleon.
He became famous because Constantinople was a famous city named after him, which is now Istanbul. So you see, his name is hardly known, but he was so powerful. So that's just an example. Here in this area known as Tamil Nadu, there were Chola kings and Pandya kings and
Chera.
Who knows the names of them even though? At that time this whole area was known as, well, east of it was called Coromandel. Now that's only the name of the train. So, who is a conqueror? Great conqueror, he's sitting on a big throne and ordering people. In the next life he might become, you know, a rat or a fly. So there's no meaning to being such a conqueror. But Arjuna is the greatest conqueror because he has conquered Krishna by love. No one can conquer Krishna. Therefore he's called Ajit, not conquered. But that verse is there in Bhagavatam that says this, how does the last one say? The whole verse that that one can conquer Krishna by who is unconquerable, jita ajita, by the process of bhakti. So Bhishma Dev was appreciating that Arjuna's conquering in fighting, that was by the power of Krishna. If it wasn't for Krishna, he would not be able to do anything. That's true of everyone. That's one of the most important lessons we have to learn in devotional service, that I am not the doer, that I can only pray to be an instrument in Krishna's hand. In this month, in December, it's a very good time for distributing books in the Western world. So they're having the December Prabhupada Marathon for distributing books. And in many ways it's more difficult to distribute books in the West than in India. Just like when you distribute books, you distribute mostly to Hindus, isn't it? If you distribute to a non-Hindu, that's something, you think that's pretty good, isn't it? The Hindus are taking books because they have some inclination toward that. That's their piety. But in the Western countries, the vast majority of books are distributed to non-Hindus. Book distributed, of course now there are many Hindus spread all over the world, but still, most book distributors, they may go all day without meeting any Hindus. So it's amazing how so many books are being distributed. I mean, literally millions in this month alone will be distributed. So how are the devotees able to do it? What's the secret? What's the technique? This is the secret and the technique. That's an easy way to translate. If you don't know, just leave it out. The technique means what is the method? Often devotees will ask a successful book distributor, how do you do it? What's the secret? Well, the secret is to have very good sadhana, to pray to Guru and Krishna, and to understand I am not the doer. Devotees distributing books in the West, they had the experience, they're distributing so many books. And as soon as the thought comes in their mind, I am doing so good, immediately they can't distribute any books. So the secret is to have good sadhana, to become purified, and to realize that I cannot do anything. I can, if Krishna blesses me, if he's pleased with me, he can make me an instrument in his service. So it's a very purifying experience, because one's consciousness has to be very fixed and pure to distribute books. If it's not, then you just can't do it. But if the devotees are fixed, then Krishna gives the intelligence what to say, how to interact with people so that they'll want to take the book. They're just meeting different people. They don't know who they are, what they believe in, or anything. And usually people, they don't like to be disturbed. They're stopping people in the street. Most people don't like to be stopped in the street. Most people, they won't even want to stop at all. But because the devotees, they're actually effulgent, they have some attraction, because they're so in such pure consciousness, and people somehow they get attracted to that. And because the devotee's mind is so fixed that I want, let this person take a book, let them become purified, and they're constantly praying to Krishna that Krishna, you are the Paramatma in their heart. So you please inspire them to become inspired to take this book. So people go out, and if they don't have any idea, I'm going to buy a book on Vedic knowledge. They have no such idea. They have money in their pocket, and they think I'm going to buy some food and some alcohol and some cigarettes or whatever. They already have their idea what they're going to do with that money. And somehow the devotees convince them to give their money, which is sweeter than honey, to buy a book which will tell them, no, don't take cigarettes and alcohol, surrender to Krishna. That is only possible to do if someone is empowered by Krishna. Arjuna was empowered by Krishna. How could he, as just one man, fight with so many fighters? He was especially empowered by Krishna. Because Krishna had some special purpose to fulfill. Kurukshetra, he wanted to... the purpose of his appearance, one of the main reasons was Bhubhaharan, to take away the burden of the earth, the burden in the form of demoniac kings, especially. So Krishna told Arjuna, nimittamatram bhavasabhyasachin, that this is my job, I'm doing it, I came here to do this, to remove the burden of the earth, but you, I'm going to do it through you, Arjuna. You become the instrument for doing it. That is one of the purposes for which the Lord comes in various forms. So Krishna has come again in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are great devotees who are carrying the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have a great parampara, great acharyas. Just like Arjuna, he had the foot soldiers surrounding his chariot. So there are many, when Arjuna is fighting, there are many assistants also. For each soldier, there has to be so many assistants. You see, because they had to have their tents set up. They had to eat, which means they had to bring food regularly onto them, into their camp, and cook it, and firewood, and water. There are no taps. In traditional India, water was carried, how? But in the skin of the animal. That was the method of bringing it. So, for each soldier, there has to be so many assistants. You may be a very powerful soldier, but if there's no one supplying arrows, there's no one supplying food and water, then what are you going to do? So, of course, the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't need our help. Ramanda tarete shakti dhare janeja. This Devaki Nandan Das, in his famous prayers to the Vaishnav, says that all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each one of them individually is powerful enough to deliver the entire universe. But out of their mercy, they engage us as assistants in their service. So just like Arjuna was expertly firing arrows and destroying the enemy, so a devotee who is empowered by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can spread this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute these books which destroy ignorance. Of course, they don't kill people, but these books have the effect of killing the demoniac desires. So those devotees who are distributing books in the Western world, they are empowered to do so. And here also, I mean, it's not that every Hindu wants to take our book. Or even to have the inspiration to do so, one has to be inspired. One has to have some inspiration from Krishna. So one who is inspired by Krishna, who can become an instrument in Krishna's service, then they can help to deliver so many conditions. But as soon as one stops thinking that I am a servant, and starts to think, oh, I'm doing so much, then the mercy stops. And one might think that, well, I'm preaching and I'm such a great devotee. But if one is doing for one's own self-aggrandizement, then no one will become a pure devotee. Just like you were describing, there's someone who's saying that actually I'm preaching all over the world, although I can't even remember his name, what even his name is. So, but he's telling people who don't know that, you see, I'm the one who's actually preaching all over the world. Although I don't think he's even been out of Tamil Nadu, probably. Or I saw some Gauri Amat publication, they were saying that so-and-so, they went and preached for the first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in Tamil Nadu. You know, ISKCON had been preaching for 20 years, but they could say, oh, we went, that's the first time. No one ever preached before. This was 5 years ago, so the book came out. Although actually even the Gauri Amat originally there in Chennai, they had going back to the 1930s, but then somehow they just, you know, it didn't happen. Or they were talking in Madurai area, yeah, in that area. So we may desire to get the credit, and we may get, people may praise us, but that is material. Just like we were saying, these great kings like Constantine, they get the pleasure, the material pleasure of people praising them. So someone may want to be praised as a great preacher of religion, but our attitude should be, just like in this verse, it is stated, anavadya, which means unblemished, without any fault. So Bhishma Dev says, Vijaya Sakhe Rati Rastu Mainavadya, may my rati, may my attraction be for Krishna, and without, Prabhupada translates this, without desire for fruitive results. So this is the whole message of Bhagavatam, to be free from material desires. One who only wants to serve Krishna can appreciate Krishna as Bhishma Dev is appreciating. The beauty of Krishna, the love of Krishna, his extraordinary pastimes, this can be appreciated by pure devotees like Bhishma Dev. There are so many different religion or teachers of religion, but they can't tell you who is God. It's amazing. You see, some people, they dedicate their whole life to preach religion. They become a Christian missionary, for instance. And they say they're teaching people about God, but they have no idea who God is. It never occurs to them in their whole life that they should try to find out actually who God is. And in the case of the Christians, they mistake that Jesus is God. So they say, God died for 3 days. Very strange idea. They have many strange ideas. Now, how can they have so many strange ideas? Why are they not attracted to the beauty of Krishna? Why is it that they will talk of God, but when we say Krishna, they become offensive and blasphemous in many cases? Because they are not anavadya. They're not free of any desire. They're cultivating so many material desires. And among Hindus, we find that so many, they will declare, I am God. And their followers say, yes, he is God. So there's so much confusion in the name of religion. But these books, Prabhupada said, they will appeal to the sincere. If people have any sincerity, they will appreciate the message of these books. Everyone in the name of religion is talking very vaguely. God is light. God is love. What love? You know, what love? What is that? And they think that love means that, God bless me and I got, I got plenty of money. They're a long, long way away from Krishna. So Prabhupada presents, here is God. Here he is. He is Krishna. Scientifically presented, not just our belief. Description, who is he? What does he look like? What does he do? How does he love? Srila Prabhupada's books, they're not like any other books that you can get anywhere. Any religious process. Yeah. Even in this area, the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya is prominent. Historically was prominent. So they may have many bona fide books also describing the glories of Bhagavan, Vishnu. But the style of presentation is suitable for people very scholarly and technical. But Srila Prabhupada's books are presented very practically, in a manner that contemporary man can relate to without having to become a big scholar. And you actually become a great scholar by reading Prabhupada's books. So please read these books, live according to these books, distribute these books, and understand from these books that I am not the doer, I am the servant, that I can only pray to be the servant. And if we cultivate this pure consciousness of being actually not even the servant, but the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, many times removed, then we will be blessed by Krishna to appreciate his beauty, and his love and his devotees in the same way that Bhishma Dev appreciated. Now, this is a very beautiful series of verses here. Bhishma Dev is praising Krishna. So try to distribute these knowledge so people can have some real beauty and love in their lives, not just simply some empty words. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please?
He's asking that when Krishna was throwing on Vishnu's, Krishna is going to put the chariot wheel on Vishnu's. He may see only Krishna's chakrabani, how he is in a sarangabani.
What's the Sanskrit derivation? I don't know. But that's translated here in maybe in this chapter of Bhagavatam. It's translated like that. Somewhere in here. I can look that up if you want. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. Partha Sakam. That's another name. Ah, here it is, yeah. Is it not so? No. Tell him I'll look it up. I'm not sure of the Sanskrit derivation. You can remind me after the class and I'll look it up.
Yes. Maybe Saramani Sakravani is saying.
Any other question?
You said that the blood which is coming from the body of Krishna is also transcendent, so it's actually looked beautiful. So
it looked beautiful to Bhishma because he had the eyes to appreciate it.
You saw when he said it is.
He has no veins.
So then
Ishopanishad also says that he doesn't walk. He doesn't talk. So it's understood that this refers to negation of the material. Just like in the Upanishads, there's a famous statement, Apanipado javano grihita. He has no hands or legs, but he accepts things and he moves. This means he has no material hand. That is the proper understanding. Hare Krishna.